Bible, 833-39-BIBLE.
A recently completed military operation to conquer ISIS in Iraq may have been deadlier to Iraqi civilians than officials there have claimed. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports.
There's a new unconfirmed count of how many civilians lost their lives in Iraq during the nine-month-long operation to drive ISIS out of its last stronghold in the city of Mosul. Iraqi officials have claimed that 1,200 people or so were killed by that fighting, which included coalition airstrikes targeting ISIS. But a new report from the Associated Press claims the number is actually over 9,000 and could top 11,000 civilians being killed. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The Department of Defense recently released a video that some are saying was a UFO. Astrophysicist and author Neil deGrasse Tyson gave his perspective earlier today.
Just because you don't know what it is you're looking at doesn't mean it's intelligent aliens visiting from another planet. You just said you don't know what you're looking at. So it's not, you cannot, as a next sentence, say, therefore it must be anything.
This is USA Radio News.
Celebrate the new year on a new floor at Lumber Liquidators' year-end flooring clearance sale. Save big on over 200 floors. Get the lowest price of the year on our thickest water resistant laminate and wood look waterproof flooring. Get pre-finished hardwood up to 35% off, bamboo up to 33% off, and take an extra 15% off clearance in store. Get more from 49 cents while supplies last, plus professional installation and special financing. Don't wait. Get to your local Lumber Liquidators today.
Taking a look at some of the stories of note today in the world, here's USA Radio Network's UN correspondent Luke Vargas.
South Korea will postpone military drills with the United States during February's Winter Olympics. South Korean officials said Wednesday that delaying the military exercises was only intended to calm visitors and not meant as a sign of capitulation to North Korea. Either way, getting South Korea to suspend drills with the U.S. is seen as a win for China and North Korea, both of which advocate that in exchange for North Korea stopping nuclear and missile development, South Korea should stop military drills with the United States. And the U.S. is warning countries not to vote against it at the United Nations General Assembly on Thursday, where 193 countries will vote on whether to condemn President Trump's recognition of Jerusalem as the Israeli capital. In a letter sent to UN missions in New York, U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley warned that, quote, the president will be watching the vote carefully and has requested I report back on those countries who voted against us. Israel is undertaking a similar lobbying effort, instructing its embassies to lobby foreign governments, especially those in Africa, to refrain from supporting the resolution. Thursday's vote will also test the effectiveness of what's been termed a charm offensive by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Netanyahu has made numerous visits in recent years to developing countries in Africa and Latin America, offering Israeli technologies in exchange for those countries siding with Israel during key UN votes.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
The following is a special presentation of Legends of Success. He was affectionately called the King of the Crooners. But after decades, his song and the music ended, and America and the world lost one of the most beautiful singing voices. Andy Williams, the only man who could sing Moon River and who made our holidays so special with his TV holiday specials, whose voice was smooth as silk, passed away at the age of 84 after a long battle with cancer. After all those years entertaining amongst the glitz and glamour of Hollywood and the biggest cities in the world, Andy moved and made a theater and home in Branson, Missouri, where he continued to sing and entertain until his death. That is where we caught up with him, and we were honored to be able to spend some time talking about his life and his career. Join us for a journey down Moon River with music legend Andy Williams with John Resnick on Legends of Success.
It's time for Legends of Success with John Resnick. Each week, John presents the most original success stories in America. Passionate and inspiring stories from some of the most innovative and successful entrepreneurs alive today. This is Legends of Success. Here's John Resnick.
And welcome to today's edition of Legends of Success. This is America's program that introduces you firsthand to our country's most legendary entrepreneurs, CEOs, and entertainment icons, where they share with you their personal stories of overcoming obstacles and setbacks to make it to the top. I'm John Resnick, and I thank you for sharing part of your day with us. Well, folks, when we take a close look at the topic of success, you quickly realize that most startup businesses don't even survive past 3 or 4 years. And for those who are fortunate enough to ascend the high levels of success, they figured out that success is more of a marathon than a sprint. And then you go a step further, and if you look at the entertainment business, the odds for success are even more challenging. And that's why you have to refer to Andy Williams as a legend. For more than 60 years, Andy Williams has not only survived but continues to thrive in a business that's known more for one-hit wonders than marathon winners. With numerous gold albums and television Emmys under his belt, this man just keeps on moving. Let's welcome the legendary crooner who Ronald Reagan once called a national treasure. Andy, welcome to Legends of Success.
Well, thank you, John. My golly, that's a nice introduction.
Well, I think you've earned that and more. First of all, tell me what's going on with Moon River Theater. Maybe some of the folks aren't aware of what your enterprises are today.
Well, in 1992, I opened my theater here in Branson, Missouri. It's a regular theater. It's not a dinner theater. It's a big theater. It seats 2,056.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful sculptured building. It really is. It's one of the prettiest theaters that I've ever seen. And those who have seen it, friends of mine from New York and Washington and Los Angeles, have all said that it would top anything anywhere. It's just a beautiful theater.
Wow.
Built it in 1991 and opened in 92.
Mm-hmm.
I've been here almost 15 years and really like it very much.
I'm
appearing here now with Glenn Campbell is with me.
Oh, that's what I hear.
Yeah, and we're doing 6 shows a week,
mm-hmm.
1 a night. And we're closing on this Saturday night. I don't know when this is going to be aired, so we may have already closed.
Yeah, I think this particular show, by the time it folks hear it, it will have aired.
Well, we had a great time.
Well, I understand.
It was a big success.
That's what I hear. That's what I hear. And Glenn's a real classic. You know, many, many years ago when I lived in California, my listeners are aware of this. I used to work for Rolls-Royce at Beverly Hills, jockeying.
You did.
Yeah, jockeying cars around. And I remember that Glenn used to live on Delphin Drive in Bel Air.
That was me.
You were there too?
No, he wasn't.
Oh, I thought Glenn lived up there as well.
No, I'm sure he didn't.
Well, I'll make a little wager. Because he had a house. He had a two-car convertible, older Rolls Royce, and he had a home up there just north of Sunset, correct?
Yeah, that's my house, and that was my car.
No.
Yes, I bought it. It was a Corniche.
Yes.
It was tan, and it was dark green and tan top.
You got
the same car that was used in Blow Up in the movie, the English movie.
Yes.
And I lived on Delphin.
You live on Delphin? Oh, yeah. It's a small world.
I live on Delphin.
But if you check with him, I'll guarantee he lived there, too. But what a small world. That is an amazing
story. Now, it's very a coincidence that he had a green Cornish with a tan top.
Yes.
He lived on Delfern, and I did too with the same.
Well, I'll tell you what, is he still out there now?
Yeah, he's with me.
When you see him, ask him if he lived on Delfern, if he had a little putting green in his backyard with a little waterfall and a bridge. Yeah, now we're going back to 1979.
Well, I was gone by then.
Yeah. You ask, hey, maybe he bought your home and your car and you don't know it. But it's a small world.
I traded my car in for a painting. I traded it with the...
For a Picasso.
Nolan had a painting that I liked, and he liked my car, and we traded.
Really? I understand you have quite the collection, Andy.
Well, I have a pretty good one. I mean, it's a small collection, but it's nice.
It might be a small collection, but I heard the dollars are way up there. Hey, Andy, Branson, Missouri, you were the first non-country artist to be there, were you not?
That's right.
To open up a theater, and how were you received?
Well, pretty good. My brother Don was a manager. He's retired now.
Mm-hmm.
But he handled a lot of country people. One of them was Ray Stevens. Mm-hmm. Ray Stevens was a friend of mine. Ray Stevens opened a theater here in 1991. My brother Don said, why don't you come down and see Ray? And I'd like you to see this town because it's very unusual. They've got, well, at that time, he said, they have 20 theaters here, and they're all live stuff, and it's all country.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like you to come down and see it. So I said, all right, I'll come down because I wanted to see Ray anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw his theater, which is a wonderful theater, and people, he introduced me, and then people after the show gathered around and they wanted my autograph and stuff, and then they said, why don't you come here? We never get a chance to see you. And it gave me this idea that maybe I should build a theater here. He said, you've been on television so much and you've sold so many records that even though these people are all country fans,
mm-hmm.
I think they'll come and see you. Which, so anyway, I built this theater and they did come.
I understand. And you put a bit of a risk and investment to see if it would work. I was told somewhere between 10 and 12 million you invested in that place, Andy.
That's right.
Aren't you glad it worked?
Back on it, I thought, boy, that was a dumb thing to do, but it turned out great.
Did you have any?
I didn't want to try it out first because then I would have missed out on a whole season if you go in and try it in somebody else's theater.
All right.
You know, for a month, say, and to see how you liked it and see whether people would come.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just decided to take the plunge and build the theater, and so that's the way we did it.
Well, you've obviously been very successful. And when you started out over in Branson, Andy, did you have any naysayers, detractors that say, Andy, you're crazy, you shouldn't build a theater there?
Oh, I had a lot of my friends, you know, in Hollywood would say, what are you doing? Why do you want to go there? I said, I just don't want to go on the road anymore, and I don't want to go to Las Vegas anymore, and I don't want to go to Atlantic City, and I'd go to Lake Tahoe. They all sound wonderful, and they're good places to work.
Sure.
But I just sort of had it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought how fun it would be to build a theater, because I like to build things anyway. I like to build houses.
Sure.
And so I thought, I'll build a theater. I'll build it just the way I want it. I'll have a dressing room so big you won't be able to, so I did.
Sure.
It has a bedroom, it has a kitchen, it has a garden, and it's, you know, it's big.
I love it.
And I can put all my paintings in it, and I live here practically.
Do you really?
I just love it.
That's great. And, you know, when you look back, excuse me, when you go back over 60 years, you know, and we're going to go back to Wall Lake, Iowa when we get back from the break, where this all began, and Howard Andrew Williams' life, folks. Andy, what's the secret of survival of so many years? Over 60 years, you continue not only to survive, but you thrive. What's the secret?
Well, one thing is you've got to be healthy to live that long.
Yes.
That helps. And I think for a singer to stay in some sort of good health, is important, because you really can't sing really well when you get old if you're not in good shape.
Well, but there's so many great singers, but they weren't clever enough or fortunate enough to survive. You've done it. You've pulled it off.
Well, I had a lot of luck, and I worked hard. I still work hard.
Wow.
But I think a lot of it has to do with doing what you really love. You know, if you're lucky enough to be one of those people who is in a business that you like, you know, you really love doing it,
mm-hmm.
there's no reason to retire. I mean, what are you retiring to? Something that you don't like as much?
Yeah, that's right.
If you're working in a factory, if you're working in a job that you don't like, then I can see how you couldn't wait to retire.
Mm.
You know, to get out of it. But if you really like, and most entertainers, you know, Bob Hope or Frank Sinatra or anybody that you can think of, Jack Benny or any of the great entertainers, they don't want to quit.
Sure.
What are they going to? If they have so much fun performing, have so much fun with the audience, and and love what you're doing, why do you want to retire? That's one of the reasons I think there's so many entertainers that make it, that keep doing it when they're 80.
Well, it's fabulous to do something you love. And, folks, when we get back, we're not only going to go back to Wall Lake, Iowa, but I'm going to ask Andy the question. It was only a few short years ago that Andy had a scare that possibly he would never sing again. So when we get back, Andy, that'll be the first lead question for you, my friend.
I'll be thinking about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the legendary crooner Andy Williams on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. We'll be back right after this.
This report is brought to you by GSK. Cases and outbreaks of meningococcal disease, or meningitis, continue to be reported on college campuses in the United States. Teens and young adults attending college are at increased risk for meningitis because infectious diseases tend to spread wherever large groups of people gather together. Jamie Shanbaum, U.S. para athlete, meningitis survivor, and GSK spokesperson.
I was in my first semester at my dream college when I got sick. What I first thought was a flu turned out to be meningitis. I was in the hospital for 7 months, lost all 10 of my fingers, and had both legs amputated below the knee. I didn't know that meningitis could lead to that.
Although uncommon, meningitis can be fatal or cause disability, sometimes within 24 hours. In the United States, 1 in 10 of those who contract it will die, and 1 in 5 survivors will suffer lifelong impact. With many teens and young adults home for the holidays, take 5 minutes to talk to a doctor about the 2 different types of vaccines that help protect against the 5 vaccine preventable groups of meningitis. Learn more at meningitis.com.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at 100inchamber.org.
5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, 100inchamberradio.com, brought to you by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hi, this is Steve Forbes of Forbes Magazine. When you want to learn who America's most successful people are, read our Forbes 400 list. When you want to hear firsthand how they got there, listen to Legends of Success with John Resnick. Legends of Success is one of the most original radio programs in years. Legends of Success with John Resnick.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. What an honor it is, folks, to have legendary crooner Andy Williams with us today, giving us some behind-the-scenes stories of his life, his career, and he has not slowed down. Speaking of not slowing down, Andy, I understand it was only a few short years ago that you did have a scare and you thought possibly you would never sing again. What happened, and how was it resolved?
That's true. I was singing over laryngitis, and that's something you really don't want to do. But I don't know how to get off the stage if you have laryngitis and people are there and you have 2,000 people. What do you do?
Sure.
Say, I'm sorry, folks. Here's your money back, and I can't make it. But I shouldn't have. I probably should have done that. But I sang with this laryngitis, and I sang hard, and you have to sing loud to get it to come out over the laryngitis.
Mm-hmm.
And I tore up my throat a little bit. I got a node on the vocal cord, and then I couldn't sing, you know, the next few days.
Oh, boy.
I called Julie Andrews, who's a friend of mine, and she had had a similar problem with a node and had an operation on it, and it wasn't very successful.
Yes.
Anyway, I called her, and I said, you know, I've got the same thing that you had. do you have any suggestions? And she said, yeah, don't use my doctor. I said, well, thanks a lot, and I didn't. In fact, I went to a different doctor. I went to a doctor at UCLA, and he was a very nice man, and he just said, if I were you, I wouldn't have the operation. And he was a doctor that operates.
Wow.
He said, if I were you, I would stop talking and stop singing for about 6 weeks, and then let me see you then. So I did. I didn't talk. I didn't sing. 6 weeks went back, and he said, well, I think if you don't sing for another, if you don't sing, you can talk, but if you don't sing for another 3 months, we'll examine you, and if it starts to go away, if it's a little smaller, then we know that it'll go away. If it isn't, then we'll operate.
Wow.
So that was good advice. I took it and went back in 3 months, and he said, it's smaller than it was. So he said, if you just don't sing now for another 6 months, and so I did that, and eventually it went away, and I didn't have to have the operation. And it was, so I didn't sing for a year. During that time, I thought, what will I do if I can't sing? And then I, you know, what do you do? You just say, well, I've sung enough.
Wow.
I could have found other things, I guess, to keep me occupied.
You become an accountant or something.
That would be a lot of fun.
Well, let me ask.
Unfortunately, I got better.
Right.
Then I had to learn how to sing again because I hadn't sung for a year.
Well,
it's like an athlete. You know, the vocal cords are muscles.
Sure.
And if you don't use them, you know, they get wobbly. They get tired. They get, and that's how when you're old, you begin to sound old. You just sound up there because you don't really use it as much as you should. And so then I had to take vocal exercises and things to get back in shape.
All over again, huh?
Yeah. It took me a couple months.
Did you go to a coach?
I did for that, yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't there a great coach named Arthur Joseph or Arthur Josephson out there in Los Angeles?
I don't know that name. I don't know. But there are several good ones out there, and I found one. Richard Erickson is very...
Sure, I know Richard.
Not Erickson. Richard... what is the name of his last name?
Wasn't it Ellickson or Alex, something like that?
What's the name of that ladies' garment company in Hollywood?
Oh, jeez. Fredericks. Fredericks. Yeah, Fredericks.
Fredericks.
Yes.
That's the way I remember his name.
That's right. That's
Richard Fredericks is the name, and he sort of coached me back into getting to use my vocal cords in the proper way and get the breathing back properly and stuff, and that helped a lot. And then I was fine.
Well, how scared were you before you knew that you were going to be okay, Andy?
I wasn't that scared.
Really?
I just, you know, I've looked at the bright side of it. You know, I thought, if I can't sing, I'll go in the art business.
Right.
No, I didn't really know what I was going to do, but I wasn't scared about it. I just, you know, I had sung a long time.
Sure.
And I had achieved, you know, a lot of success that I was hoping that I would. No, I was not frightened at all.
Very
philosophical. My life is over if I can't sing.
Yeah, very
not at all.
Philosophical about it, weren't you?
Yeah. I mean, I knew I could, you know, eventually talk. Mm-hmm. I knew I could eventually maybe not sing as well as I wanted to, or maybe I couldn't sing at all and sound good. But, I mean, I could live without that.
Yeah, well, speaking of singing, when no one's around, and you're in the shower, you're driving, what do
I
you
never sing?
Oh, come on, really?
I never sing.
You know,
like a bus driver, it doesn't take a bus.
Really?
I never ever sang.
I can't imagine having a voice like yours and not singing all the time.
No, in fact, when I had a show on NBC for years, this friend of mine who was a writer on my show was walking down the hall, and Sinatra was in one of the little adjacent kind of studio, small one, and he was vocalizing. And he said, "Hey, Frank." He said, "Annie never vocalizes." He said, "Oh yeah." I never did.
Really?
I never vocalized.
Jeez.
Think how good I'd sound if I vocalized. La 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 la. No, I don't.
Whoa! Don't stop. We got that. That's magic. Go ahead.
No, that's that. I don't do that.
No.
Nope.
Wow.
Moo, ma, me, all that stuff. Mo, me.
I love it. Now, do I owe you royalties?
No.
Oh, good.
But no, I find that boring and stuff.
Oh, I'm sure.
I open up on my first number.
I love it. Well, let's go back to where all this began. Wall Lake, Iowa. You grew
Not
up.
Not my fault.
I'm sorry.
Not my fault.
Well, but you were there. But you know who says that? It was your friend Jerry Lewis. He says, you're in Harrisburg? on purpose?
Well, that's there's a guy named, there's an actor
mm-hmm.
who just adored Milton Berle.
Yes.
Just adored him. Thought he was the greatest thing. And he was friends with him. And he was opening in a play in, like, New Hampshire, New Haven.
Okay.
Connecticut,
sure.
Yeah. And he heard that his friend Milton Berle was in the audience, coming to see him.
Right.
And he was nervous, and he went on, and he did a great show, he thought. And Berle came back and knocked on the door and walked in, and the guy said to him, "What do you think?" And Milton said, "It's not your fault."
Those were some.
It's not your fault.
That's great. I love it.
Well, that's what I say about when you said Wally Guy. I said, "It's not my fault. Yeah. I didn't pick the town."
But what was it like growing up? What'd you do as a kid?
Well, it was great. It was a small town, 700 people.
Wow.
Actually, 749.
Wow.
And I lived there until I was started the third grade.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth grade I started in Des Moines.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the early years up until the time I was about, seven?
Okay.
Maybe, something like that. And it was great. You know, small towns are wonderful. Then we moved to Des Moines.
Right.
Des Moines is not that much bigger, but it's 150,000 people. Des Moines is a nice little city.
Sure.
And I started singing with my brothers on the radio in Des Moines.
Mm-hmm.
On WHO. And Ronald Reagan had been there previously, like 10 or 15 years before. And he was the radio announcer, the sports announcer. His name was Dutch Reagan.
Wow.
And people were still talking about him in Des Moines because he had gone to Hollywood and had become a movie star.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah. And so it was interesting to meet him later on in life. I sent him a picture of him in front of a microphone, one of those square-looking mics that have the call letters on it. It said WHO on it.
Oh, sure.
And there was a picture of me when I was 7 years old in front of the same microphone. It said WHO.
I love it.
And I sent it to him. I hadn't met him yet.
Uh-huh.
I sent it to him and said, "Yeah, I started there before you did. I was younger than you were." And then he sent me a note back.
Yeah.
And then later on, I got to know him a little bit. And he was a very nice, wonderful man.
He is my all-time favorite president. I loved Ronnie Reagan. And, you know, and we get back from in the next break and later on in the show, I'm going to ask you about a friendship you had with Robert Kennedy, who I think personally would have gone on to be even greater than his brother was as a president. But you went back WHO, which was a 50,000 watt AM station. I guess it is today at age eight, Andy, the Iowa Barn Dance, I think it was
Iowa
called.
Iowa Barn Dance.
Right.
Started.
When we get back, I'm going to find out what it was like singing with your brothers. And a couple other questions on how you ascended into such stardom. Ladies and gentlemen, we're fortunate today to be with Andy Williams, the legendary crooner from his Branson, Missouri Moon River Theater. We'll be back right after this.
Missed part of this week's great Legends of Success interview? No problem. You can hear each week's show online on our website at legendsofsuccess.com.
USA Radio News.
This bill means more take-home pay. It will be an incredible Christmas gift for hardworking Americans. I said I wanted to have it done before Christmas. We got it done.
President Donald Trump earlier today at a cabinet meeting singing the praises for the bill that was passed by members of the House and Senate earlier today. The president also discussed the economy after being in office for nearly 1 year.
We've already created over 2 million jobs. The stock market's at an all-time high yet again. I think that's 86 times. Unemployment is at a 17-year low.
On the other side of the aisle, Senator Bernie Sanders says, yeah, there were some tax credits in the bill, but not nearly enough.
Truth is that depending on where you live in America, good quality child care can cost $12,000, $15,000, $20,000 a year. Our job is to move to universal child care so that every working family in this country knows that their kids have good quality care.
This is USA Radio News.
Hey guys, this is Larry King. Are you sick and tired of prostate pills that don't work? I've got great news for you. I had prostate problems that were driving me nuts. I tried several different natural products. None of them worked. One day I heard about Prostagenics. It beat over 157 other prostate supplements in independent lab tests and was rated number one most powerful prostate supplement in the world. So I got some Prostagenics and boy, am I glad I did. Now my prostate troubles are a thing of the past. I sleep like a champ. I feel like I did 20 years ago. Do yourself a huge favor. Do what I did and get yourself some Prostagenics.
Prostagenics sells for $49 in stores. But call right now because we're letting as many men as possible try Prostagenics with our free bottle offer. So call 1-800-550-4512 right now. That's 1-800-550-4512. Call 1-800-550-4512.
Where do I begin to tell the story of how great a love can be?
Andy Williams, you know him from Moon River, I think the theme from the Godfather movie, and a bunch of others, Love Story as well. Wasn't that a great hit, Andy?
That was. It was the biggest worldwide hit that I had, mainly because of the movie, because the movie was big, and so it sold, well, for instance, in Japan, it sold 600,000 singles in English and 600,000 singles in Japanese, because I recorded it in six different languages.
Really?
And so the same thing, not to that amount, but the same thing happened in France, same thing happened in Germany, same thing happened in Italy.
Mm.
So that it was a big seller all around the world, bigger than anything that I had had. Or I've had since.
Yeah, and most people think it's Moon River, but I think that hit big because of the Academy Awards back then, didn't it?
Well, I hadn't recorded it when I knew I was going to sing it on the Academy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to Columbia, where I was recording for, and said, listen, in 6 weeks I'm going to sing Moon River on the Academy Awards. Everybody says it's going to win. It already had two hit records on it, and it was important in the movie. And I just was sort of taken for granted that it would probably win. So I said, why don't we go in and record it now, get it in an album, and put it out. Mm-hmm. And they said, great idea. So we went in the studio and we recorded 12 songs, Moon River and other great movie themes.
Right.
We did all the great ones, you know, Might As Well Be Spring and Mona Lisa and all of the wonderful Academy Award winners.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they weren't winners, they were certainly Academy Award contenders.
Sure.
And they had it in the stores the day that I sang it, or the day after I sang it. It was Columbia did a wonderful job of merchandising, mm-hmm. and they sold 400,000 albums the next day because it won. And you know, I had so then I made it the theme song of my television show,
mm-hmm.
and sang the first 8 bars on every show for 9 years.
Wow.
And I became more identified with it than even Henry Mancini, who wrote it.
But speaking of Henry Mancini, I know we're jumping around history a little, but there's a great story that took place at La Scala Restaurant in Los Angeles. Tell us about that, will you?
Well, that's how I got Moon River,
mm-hmm.
Or how I didn't get Moon River. La Scala was a nice restaurant in Beverly Hills that a lot of celebrities went to.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in there having dinner, and I saw Johnny Mercer and Henry Mancini sitting at another table. And so I had finished dinner, and I went over to say hello. And they said, we have just come from recording Audrey Hepburn singing Moon River, the song we just wrote, for the movie Breakfast at Tiffany's, and it would be a great song for you. I loved both of those guys. I had known Johnny Mercer longer than I had known Henry,
mm-hmm.
but I loved both of their music. I love Johnny's lyrics, and I love Henry's music. And I took it back to Archie Blyer at Cadence Records because I was recording for Cadence.
Out of New York. Right, sure.
Archie said, I love the song, but I don't think it's a hit single.
Ooh.
I said, well, why not? He said, well, I don't think kids who buy the single, mostly, are going to understand or care about that line, My Huckleberry Friend. So, you know, I'm not running the company, and I couldn't argue with him, and I didn't record it.
Oh.
Henry had a million seller with it as an instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what was the guy's name, a black fella that had...
he sold a million or something like that.
He sold a million, too.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
So by the time I came around to they're asking me to sing it on the Academy Awards, you know, I knew the song.
Sure.
I said, you know, this is a great song, and it's going to win. Now, I wasn't with Archie anymore on Cadence.
Mm-hmm.
I had moved over to Columbia.
Right.
And so we recorded it, and as I told you, we put it out, and it became a big success.
It was major. But you're the one most identified with that song.
Right, mostly because of the success of the album, because of the Academy Award thing.
Sure.
Also because it was, you know, heard every week. on my television show. I did first eight bars.
That's amazing. And I heard your royalties to this day are almost add up to being a small industry. Well, I'm sorry. I heard they're very, very healthy.
I made a lot of albums.
Yes.
You know, and we had 21 gold and platinum albums. So, and they, you know, contrary to what people in the rap business say, people like Medus continue to sell records.
God bless America.
Yeah.
I think it's great. Well, your first hit, I guess, you know, we're going back just a little bit. You moved from WHO, then you went to WLS in Chicago, which was one of the top three or four stations in all of America, if not the second biggest. But your first big recording hit, again, correct me if I'm wrong, you had an opportunity, a big opportunity with Bing Crosby, am I right?
Yeah, well, that was after Chicago and after Cincinnati.
Hmm. How did you meet Bing?
We went to WLW, which is another big, big station.
Oh, sure. Right.
And then we went to California.
Mm-hmm.
Then we met Bing Crosby, and he said, would you make this record with me? And we said, yeah, we'd love to. Swing It on a Star.
Wow.
Big record. Big record for Bing.
Sure.
We just sang the background with him on the song. But it was a big treat to, you know, to work with him.
Oh, yeah.
I was about 14.
Is that right?
And I was singing the high part. Do, 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 do. It was up there.
Sing some more. Come on. We'll get our money's worth.
Yeah.
People pay a lot to hear this show.
They'll have to come to Branson.
I would love to come to Branson.
Well, get on a plane.
We will. Is Don still out there?
My brother, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that was your hit. I mean, that was really your first,
first record I was ever on. Yeah.
That's amazing. And then from there, things went on. What was your next big transition?
Well, then my brothers and I stayed in Los Angeles. We made some movies. We were in a few movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started this act with Kay Thompson.
Sure.
Which was a great big success in Supper Club. And that lasted about 5 years, and then I decided, my brothers decided they didn't want to continue singing as a group. They left me.
Oh, no.
And so I didn't know what else to do. I didn't want to go to college because I just barely got out of high school. And so I decided to try singing alone, which was hard because when you're used to singing in a group, and here I'm already, 21 years old or something.
Sure.
And I hadn't thought about singing alone. So it was very hard, very scary, but I stuck with it, and eventually I got on the Steve Allen Tonight Show, which I did for 2.5 years.
Right.
So I had that exposure, and because of that exposure, I got a contract with Archie Blyer, and did a smart thing. The first album I made with Archie Blyer was songs by Steve Allen.
Oh, wow.
Andy Williams sings Steve Allen, so I knew I'd get a chance to sing him a lot.
That's so smart. That was so clever.
Well,
was that
really dumb, you know?
Yeah. Well, you think it was dumb?
No, I say it wasn't
dumb. Oh, no, it was not dumb, because obviously he was the Tonight Show. We're going to take a quick break, Andy, and come back and then hear how things took off from there. Ladies and gentlemen, Andy Williams, we're on Legends of Success. Be right back.
This report is brought to you by Sprint. Celebrating holidays and the new year, Sprint and Prince Royce are launching the Live Unlimited The Dreams Academy contest. Interested musicians and bands can upload a video showcasing their talents for a chance to win money and mentorship by Royce, helping turn dreams into reality. Entries must be in by December 31st. Supporters can vote for their favorite aspiring artists starting January 2nd. Prince Royce, award-winning artist and Sprint ambassador.
What's up, guys? It's Prince Royce. My friends at Sprint and I are excited to bring you the Live Unlimited Dreams Academy contest. The winner will receive $10,000 plus an in-person mentoring session with me. Make sure to enter and vote at sprint.com/dreams and share on social media using hashtags Live Unlimited and contest.
Enter at sprint.com/dreams now. No purchase necessary. Must be 18. Ends at 11:59:59 p.m. Eastern Time on December 31st, 2017. See contest official rules for details, including specifics on eligibility and entry requirements needed to qualify. Void where prohibited.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunterdon County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Moon River, wider than a mile, I'm crossing you in style someday.
Well, I don't care if you're 15 or 85. That is absolute perfection.
Well, I'm not 85.
And we've got that man, Andy Williams, with us today. What a tremendous honor.
That sounds pretty good. I haven't heard it in
years. I'll bet you. Oh. Andy, can I put you on the spot? Can you sing me a few bars?
Moon River, wider than a mile.
Keep going.
That's all you get.
No, come on.
For 30 minutes.
Well, but we're not done. We've got some more good stuff. Thank you, Andy. Still is beautiful today. Going back 1962, the Andy Williams Show, you had a 9-year run. You had 3 Emmys. Let's talk about a few of the people who I think you were the most fond of. You are widely credited for helping discover the Osmonds. Is that correct?
That's very correct.
Tell me about it.
My father found the Osmonds, and he brought them to the studio one day and said, I want you to hear these boys. Because they're the same ages that you and your brothers were when you started, and you owe them something. You've got to give them a chance.
Wow.
So we listened to them, and we stopped the rehearsal at NBC. And everybody sat on the floor, all the dancers and singers and everybody, and we listened to them sing this barbershop stuff, and they were funny. They were cute.
Yeah.
And he said, my father said, you got to put them on. I said, well, Dad, you know. He said, you put them on. I said, yes, sir. And
wow.
So I figured we'd put them on once. And they came on once, and they were cute. They were sitting on the steps, and the mail, and the phone calls, and everything. A couple of weeks later, I called them and said, would you like to come back? Oh, yes, sir.
Oh.
And so they came back for like 6 or 7 years, you know, every week. Actually, the people on our show taught them so much. You know, Nick Castle, the choreographer, he taught them how to dance.
Mm-hmm.
And George Weil, who is our vocal arranger, taught them how to sing modern harmony kind of thing. And they just grew up doing the show and became better and better. And, you know, I said one day to them after they'd been on for a year or so, I said, have you ever thought of getting some instruments and learning how to play and be, you know, a rock and roll group? Oh, yes, sir. And they all went out and started learning how to play, and they within 6 months they could all play great.
Really?
And yeah, and they really. So then, after about 7 years on the show, they got a hit record with "One Bad Apple."
Oh wow!
And it took off, and they just said, "My brother Don was handling them; was their manager."
Oh boy!
So he said, "You know, we've got to go. We've got to go. They're getting big." And I said, "We'll take them."
Our guest today is Andy Williams, and you're listening to Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. We'll be right back.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunterdon County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
We continue our journey down Moon River with music legend Andy Williams on Legends of Success.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. Andy, let me ask you this. Was your father that instrumental in your career when you were kids, guiding you?
We were kids, yeah.
Yeah, like the Jacksons and, like, you know, especially
right.
Like the Osmonds.
All family groups have their parents, generally their parents, one of them.
Mm.
Acts as their manager and take, you know, because we don't know what we're doing. And sure. He didn't know what he was doing either, but, you know, you learn pretty quickly.
Yes.
You have to have somebody.
Tremendous discipline, and they were fortunate to find a mentor in Andy Williams. What about, I understand it was very interesting and a real party working with Sammy Davis.
Sammy was, you know, was the most talented of all the people I think I've ever worked with as far as different kinds of talents. He could do anything.
Wow.
I mean, he was a great imitator. He could do all kinds of people.
Mm.
And he was great with guns, twirling guns and six shooters and stuff. He was, my God, he could just go out and do that for 20 minutes and flip them all around and flick them. You know, he was terrific.
Mm. Mm.
And he could sing and he could dance and he could do everything. He was, and so he was a lot of fun to work with.
Sure. He always had his, what was his assistant's name all the time? George or something?
Yeah, George.
George, always with
George
him.
With him. He brought his own bar.
I knew that.
You know, and he would drink from, he would drink from the, you know, if we start rehearsing at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
George is there with a bar, and he'd fix him a drink.
With a Coke.
It was a Coke, but I had something in it, rum, I think.
Yes. Oh, and he'd nurse it all day, but it's
and
funny.
Yeah, he didn't drink up, you know, real fast, but he drank all day long.
Sure.
And never got drunk that I ever saw him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he was just on all the time.
Amazing. Amazing. What about a man who I admired so much, and he was such a champion for civil rights, Bobby Kennedy, who I still say to this day would have been even a greater president or a better president than his brother, John.
Well, I think he would have been a great president. I think it's a shame. Shame is not the word for it, but that he was killed before he had a chance to do some of the things that he felt were really worth doing for the American people.
Sure.
And I think he would have been a great president, too.
Yeah. How did you meet him?
I met him. He stopped by one time at NBC, and he was doing a show like a Meet the Press or one of those shows.
Mm-hmm.
And we were rehearsing, and he said, I just wanted to drop by and say hello. We are big fans of yours. My wife and I and the kids, we watch your show every week, and just thought I'd say hello. And I said, how long are you going to be in town? He said, well, we'll be here tomorrow. We're going to see... We're going to this party out at MCA. Lou Wasserman was the head of MCA.
Sure.
His wife's birthday, Edie's birthday, her 50th birthday, and we're going to go there for that. I said, I'm singing a happy birthday to her on that.
Oh, wow.
Oh, great. So then we got together when we were there.
Mm-hmm.
He came over and said hello, and I danced with Ethel, and he danced with Claudine, and you know, had a great time. And then the next day he called me on the golf course.
Really?
And said, listen, we're going to Palm Springs for the weekend. Why don't you come down?
Wow.
So we did, and that's how we really became friends. And we ended up the first night down in Palm Springs singing in the car for about 2 hours.
How was his voice?
Terrible.
Well, how's he going to
sing? He sang like he talked. You know, he had a kind of a nasal sound.
Yeah, how are you going to sing when you sing next?
No, he loved to sing, but he was just awful.
Well, how would anyone sing next to Andy Williams?
Well, he didn't sound very good.
Well, no wonder.
And Ethel was, she was a little better, not too much, but she knew all the words.
Yes.
She knew the words to everything, every show tune.
I understand, talk about loyalty, that once he was assassinated, that you were a very kind, kind friend. And helped Ethel through some very difficult times.
Well, I loved both of them very much.
Sure.
And we got to know them quite well.
Mm-hmm.
And we would ski with them at Christmas and spend time at their house when, you know, we had time to do that. And he was a good friend. And, so when he was killed, we were at the hospital when he died.
Mm.
And then we went with Ethel the next day I didn't go home. Just went and got on the plane, Air Force 2, and flew to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have any clothes, didn't have anything.
Oh.
And got a hotel and bought some clothes. And I sang at the funeral 2 days later and sang Battle Hymn of the Republic.
I remember.
And that was, you know, that was tough. That was tough to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I missed him a lot. And, you know, I just decided to work out better and run and start running and get in shape and all that because of him.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Wow.
But he was a wonderful man. I just loved him.
Wow. You know, I remember my father once said to me a number of years ago, he says, you know, hey, boy, I went to bed and I was 21. When I woke up, I was 65. He's a funny guy.
Right.
But that's how time fast goes. Do you ever look back and say, where did that time go with all the things you've done, how quickly it went?
Yeah, I was thinking back. You know, one day he called me and he said, "I'd like you to be a delegate for me from the state of California." I said, "Great, I'd love it." He said, "Shirley MacLaine is going to be a delegate, and I'd like you to be a delegate." I said, "Great."
Mm-hmm.
So, and a couple of weeks later, I called him back and I said, "You know, I hope I haven't messed this up any, but I'm a Republican." And he started to laugh. And he said, "That doesn't matter." He said, "You can still be a delegate for me. You just have to go down and change your registration from from Republican to a Democrat."
Uh-huh.
"And you can switch it back, you know, later on if you want to."
Sure.
So I did. I went down and I became a Democrat for a couple months. And
it's all politics.
I was a delegate for him. You know, he was dead, but he still showed up. I still we all showed up, all the delegates to all of the different people who were running.
Sure.
Showed up in Chicago. It was in 1968.
Mm-hmm.
And then I pledged my vote for George McGovern because he liked George so much.
Mm-hmm.
Thought he was a great leader and was a great man. And then I never got into politics again, ever.
Wow.
Until, I became a Republican again,
mm-hmm.
because that's basically what I was, what my father was. And, but I would vote for a Democrat any time that I thought the Democrat was the right guy.
Well, Andy, I think most of our listeners after meeting you today would vote for you.
Oh, no, thank you. I've got too many things in the closet.
I do want to thank you so much, Andy. This time flew by very quickly, and you're a tremendous guest. And thank you so much for your candor and some of these behind-the-scenes stories.
Well, I'm glad to do it. I'm nice to talk to you, too, John.
Special thanks to Paul Sheffern in Los Angeles for helping arrange the interview with Andy Williams, our team here at Legends of Success, Michael Parks, Rob Wilbur, Art Selby, and the intelligent and beautiful Billy Resnick. And most of all, folks, thank you for sharing part of your day with us. I'm John Resnick. You've been listening to Legends of Success. We'll see you next week.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America, working with happiness expert Sean Acor. Holiday travel is about spending time with loved ones, whether it's a vacation or a trip back home. However, often we get too caught up in the stress of the season. Here's how to reduce travel stress and put your happiness in perspective. Sean Acor, happiness expert.
Planning a holiday trip can certainly feel stressful, but it's important to remember the end goal, joy. Rather than focusing on a long security line or traffic, stop and reflect upon how lucky you are to travel and how challenges make our travel stories even better. I found that one of the best ways to reduce stress on the trip is planning, by taking early steps like researching hotels and booking intelligently. I like to use my Bank AmeriCard Travel Rewards credit card, which lets me earn an unlimited 1.5 points on every dollar I spend and doesn't limit my travel plans with blackout dates. That way, every vacation leads to more opportunities to travel, and that makes me happy.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/travel rewards.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.